Mark chapter 15, I want us to consider the timeline of our Savior's crucifixion. Look at verse number 25. Mark chapter 15, verse number 25. And it was, what hour? The third hour. And they crucified him. Now the Jewish day starts at 6 o'clock in the morning. And so the third hour would be 9 a.m. So as our Savior was crucified at 9 a.m., when you get to verse number 33, you see that when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. So what time would the sixth hour be? 12 noon. Okay, a little slow there. Little snow on the brain. Okay. So 12 noon. So Jesus was crucified at 9 o'clock in the morning. After 3 hours on the cross, the Bible says that there was darkness. Now turn over to Luke chapter 23. In Luke chapter 23, it gets a little more detailed. You know, as you read the Gospels and you read them together and do a little cross-reference, you can learn things that you don't see in just one book. In Luke chapter 23, in verse number 44, and it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Now, I just believe that the Bible is true, but it says it wasn't just a local event. There was darkness over all the earth, the entire world. What must people have thought as they looked up in the sky and it should be the brightest part of the day, and yet it is pitch black? I was listening to the radio. Actually, I was coming out of Dunkin' Donuts today, this week, and I didn't get there yet today. But I was coming out of Dunkin' Donuts and I heard a radio ad or something, and it said, New Hampshire is going to have a solar eclipse, a total solar eclipse in less than 100 days. It's the first time in New Hampshire since 1959. That's a long time. You better get out there and make sure. Well, be careful. Okay, you have to do it a certain way. But make sure that you're paying attention. Whatever day that is, in less than 100 days. Now, we know about these events. We can predict them now. But back in Jesus' day, they couldn't predict these things, I don't think. And certainly when there's darkness over the whole entire earth, it was more than just a local solar eclipse or a partial solar eclipse. It was the hand of God making it dark over the whole world. There was no warning. Why? Because God was nailed to a cross. Jesus Christ, the Creator, was crucified by His creation. He was rejected by sinners. His enemies condemned Him, didn't they? As He's hanging on the cross, they said to Him, He saved others. Himself, He cannot save. They said, hey, if you're who you say you are, come down from the cross. One of the thieves said, come down from the cross and take me with you. A little selfish. His disciples forsook Him and fled. Now, as this happens, it looks like the end of what started to be a wonderful promise, but not kept. Jesus made a lot of promises to His disciples. He made a lot of promises to the people in Israel. And it looked like now, as He's nailed to a cross and darkness comes upon the whole earth, that His promises were not true. It looked like the end of what started to be a lofty purpose. And it began with a good intention, but it was never to be realized. It looked like all those prophecies in the Old Testament that were fulfilled, where He would be born in Bethlehem of Judea, how He would be born of a virgin. All the prophecies and the wise men coming and all the different things that happened in Simeon and Anna and all the different prophecies that had come to that point. Hundreds of prophecies now broken. Jesus Christ is on the cross. Darkness over the whole world. Can I say to you tonight, God does His best work in the dark. God does His greatest work in the dark. When it looks like nothing is going to happen, when it looks like it's the end of everything that is possible, God does His greatest work. Some of you today are going through some trying times. I don't know everybody's story, but I know a little bit. And I know if you're not going through a trying time today, you will be someday soon. You've been through some trying times, many of you, difficulties, reversals, testings, sufferings. Can I encourage you? While it's dark, God is working. When the darkness comes, God is not forgotten. You know, thank God He can see in the dark. God can see. He has night vision. God can see in the darkness what you're suffering. He saw His only begotten Son on the cross. Mark chapter 14, verse 27. And Jesus said unto them, all ye should be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Hey, that's a difficult thing to think about. Jesus said, everybody's going to be offended in me this night. The shepherd is going to be smitten, and all the sheep are going to fly away. Well, look what it says in verse 28. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. Thank God for verse 28. Let's look at the first thought tonight on Calvary's cross in the dark. I want you to think about, look at 1 Peter chapter 2. So here's our Savior on the cross, nailed there. It's now dark. It's 12 o'clock in the afternoon. It should be the lightest part, the hottest part, the brightest part of the day. And yet it's dark. And yet God is doing His greatest work in the darkness. What's happening while our Savior is crucified? What's happening while the Son of God is nailed to the cross? What's happening in the darkness? 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 23. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. When it was dark, in the worst hour, when everything looked like it was all over, Jesus Christ was bearing your sins on the cross. God does His greatest work in the dark. God does His best work in the dark. And there's the Son of God in the dark bearing our sins. I love Isaiah chapter 53. I tried to figure out which verse to read and which verse not to read. And I couldn't figure out any not to read. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. And as a root out of a dry ground, he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. In the darkness, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Verse number 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. In the darkness, the greatest work of God was going on, because Jesus Christ was bearing your sins and my sins. In the darkness, God saw you. Mark chapter 15, verse number 34. The Bible says in verse 33, there was darkness. In verse 34, and at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, my God. We talked about that this morning. Why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus Christ was forsaken in the darkness so you and I could be forgiven one day. Thank God. God does His greatest work in the darkness. It was dark. Why? Because my sin was dark. Your sin was dark. Jesus finished what he came to do in the darkness. He cried out, "It is finished," in the darkness. He's the author and he's the finisher. He didn't just start, he completed what God called him to do. In the dark, he cried out, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And that word, tetelestai, it is finished. He yielded his life in the darkness to give me eternal life. God does his greatest work in the darkness. God does his best work in the dark. When he did, verse 38. Mark 15, verse 38. "And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom." When did that happen? In the dark. God reached down from heaven. That veil was thick. Some say it was 9 inches or more thick. It was woven. Look, you just don't rip something like that. A human being doesn't do that. And a human being, if they could do it, wouldn't do it from the top to the bottom. They'd do it from the bottom and try to go toward the top. God reached down in the darkness and took the veil of the temple and ripped it in half, because we don't have to go to the priest. We come to the mediator. For there's one God and one mediator between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus. God reached down from heaven and rent the veil. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 19 that the veil was Jesus' flesh. "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh." Jesus Christ had his flesh torn for us so that we could come to God as our mediator, as our high priest. Look at verse 39 of Mark chapter 15. As I was thinking, what happened there in the darkness? God does his greatest work in the dark. He forgave our sins in the dark. Jesus bore our sins in his body on the tree in the darkness. What happened in the darkness? The veil of the temple was rent in half, and Jesus Christ, our mediator, was shown. Verse 39. "And when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God." Hey, in the darkness, the centurion was convinced that the man that he was in charge of killing on the cross was indeed the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. The Messiah, the Son of God. Hey, you know, it takes a lot to convince a guy who's... I mean, this guy didn't get to be a centurion because he was an Eagle Scout. He got to be a centurion because he was a bloody man. He was a warrior. And here's a man of callous character. Here's a man standing at the foot of the cross. In the darkness, he was convinced Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You know, a lot of things happen in the darkness, and God does his greatest work in the darkness. Oh, I don't like the darkness. Some people are afraid of darkness, right? A lot of things bad happen in the dark, but God is busy when it's dark. Number two, God does his best work in the dark. Look at Mark chapter 16. Where Mark chapter 15, the crucifixion. Now look at Mark chapter 16. "And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. They said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. They were affrighted. And he said unto them, be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which is crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him." The Bible says they came at the rising of the sun in verse number 2. Do you understand that Jesus Christ said that he would rise again? In John chapter number 2 and verse number 18 and verse number 19, he mentioned it. "Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again." Guess what? During those 3 days, where was he? He was in the tomb. His body was in the tomb. It was dark. While his body was in the tomb, it's just after the first miracle, and he mentioned that in John chapter 2, turning water into wine. It's just after throwing over the tables of the money changers. Now it's dark in the garden tomb. Think about this. The disciples must have wondered. Jesus said he's going to rise from the grave. He told us over and over again he's going to rise from the grave. And yet there are soldiers outside of the tomb. They've set a watch. They've sealed the stone. He's not coming out of there. Jesus is leading captivity captive while the darkness is in this world. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 8. In the dark, what did the Savior do? He walked through the stone in the darkness before the sun came up. That stone was rolled away not to let him out. Remember, he just walked into a locked room on the first day of the week, that same day. He didn't have to have a stone rolled away to be let out. The stone was rolled away so we could look in. The stone was rolled away so others could see. He's gone. Up from the grave, he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. It was dark. What was going on? Our Savior was in the tomb. His body was in the tomb. It was dark. What was going on? He's leading captivity captive. Number three, the third thing. The disciples forsook him and fled. Look at John chapter 20. In John chapter 20, the disciples had left after the Garden of Gethsemane, after Judas came and betrayed Christ. And they'd forsaken him. It was dark. It was a dark day for the church. It was a dark day for Christianity. It was a dark day for believers in Christ. Everyone's gone. Now they're meeting in an upper room. John chapter 20 and verse number 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. What time was it? It was evening. What was it like? Kind of like it is outside right now. It was dark. God does his best work in the darkness. Here they are meeting in an upper room in the dark. Well, maybe they had some candles. I don't know. You know, we had an opportunity to go where we don't know. But it could have been the upper room. It's at least probably in that area. It's the same city, that's for sure. Probably the same side of town where the rich people lived. And standing in that room, you get kind of a feeling like, I don't know, if this was the place, it's pretty awesome. I mean, it's a pretty awesome place anyway. But anyway, we're in close proximity where those disciples were meeting. Thank God Jesus showed up in their darkness. What are we going to do? He's been crucified. What are we going to do? He's been in the tomb for 3 days and three nights. What are we going to do? And Jesus shows up. And guess what? He'll show up in your darkness too. You just have to keep doing the same right thing. It's dark on Calvary. God does his best work in the dark. It was dark in the tomb. God does his greatest work in the dark. Jesus Christ rose from the grave very early in the morning while it was dark. The disciples met in an upper room, and Jesus met with them in an upper room in the darkness. I want you to think about this. In Genesis chapter number 1, the first two verses in the Bible, when God created the world, guess what? It was dark. God did his best work in the darkness and created the world from nothing. In Genesis chapter number 15, as Abraham was being promised by God that he would be a father of many nations, it was dark. And the Bible says it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. God gave promises to Abraham when in the dark. God does his greatest work in the dark. You may be going through some darkness in your life. You may have darkness ahead of you. Don't forget, God is working even when you can't see. You know, if you think about what happened with Jacob. Jacob was wrestling with the angel of the Lord, an Old Testament appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know when that happened? It happened in the dark. He wrestled with the Lord Jesus Christ himself all night in the darkness alone. And as you read Genesis chapter 32, he wrestled until the breaking of the day. That was a long night for Jacob. But God did his best work in the dark. Because in the darkness, Jacob received power with God. You read that chapter. And the Lord told him, I'm giving you power with God. You wrestled with me and you prevailed when? In the darkness. Here's a prevailing prayer in the darkness. He became a prince and his name was changed in the darkness. From Jacob to Israel. From a trickster and a supplanter to a prince with God who has power with God. When did it happen? It didn't happen in the sunshine. It didn't happen when everything was going good. It happened when he was in fear of his life. In the darkness, in the middle of the night, he received a blessing in the darkness. In Genesis chapter 32, the end of that passage of scripture, and he passed over Peniel. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him. Can I say this? Thank God, in every dark night, the sun eventually comes up. The sun's coming up in the morning. Hey, it looks terrible now, but the sun's coming up in the morning. You know, if it's terrible all through life and it's dark all through life and the rest of every chapter of your life is just darkness, guess what? You're going to die one day, and if you're saved, you're going to heaven, and it's going to be eternal, perpetual morning because the Lamb is the light of that city. It might be a dark lifetime, but God's doing a great work in your life in the darkness. God did a great work on Calvary. In the dark. He did a great work in the tomb. In the dark. The disciples in the dark met together and Jesus appeared to them. Creation started out in the dark and God said, let there be light. And there was light. Smoking furnace and the burning lamp in Genesis 15 verse 17 were in the dark. Jacob wrestled with an angel of the Lord, the Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ in the dark and he received a blessing. In the dark. After 400 years of slavery. In Egypt, on a dark night, there had already been 9 plagues. The water had turned to blood. The locust, the fire, the murrain, the boils, the flies, the frogs. And finally, the 10th plague was the Passover. God finally said, okay, this is going to be the final one. And Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight, I will go out into the midst of Egypt. When did the Passover happen? At midnight. Well, that was a terrible night for the Egyptians, but it's a wonderful night for God's people. Because they took the lamb that day. And they slew the lamb in the backyard and they took the blood in the basin and they put hyssop weed and they struck it on the doorposts and the lentils of their home. And the Lord said, listen, fooey on the death angel. There's no death angel in the Bible. The Lord said, I will pass through the land. The Lord himself passed through the land and every place he saw the blood applied to the doorposts and the lentils, he said, I will pass over. But everywhere the blood was not applied, the firstborn in that house died. From the house of the lowest servant to the house of Pharaoh the king. When did that happen? At midnight. Pretty dark. Thank God the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 7, Christ, our Passover. A picture of Jesus Christ. He was crucified in the darkness. Think about this. Look at Daniel chapter 6. The darkness, God does his greatest work in the darkness. You look and say, well, why do I have to have dark chapters and dark strands and dark things in my life? God's working in your life. You may not see it, but God is at work. Daniel chapter 6. After Daniel has been framed because he prayed 3 times a day toward Jerusalem. And they tricked the king into signing a decree that for 30 days you could only pray to the king. And finally, Daniel is thrown into the den of lions. Look at chapter 6 of Daniel and verse number 14. And the king, when he had heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun. to deliver him. Hey, when did Daniel get put in the lion's den? In the daytime or at night? At night. And here's Daniel. It's dark. Daniel, I've tried to get you off on a technicality. We've tried to get a bail bondsman. We've tried everything we can. We tried to get it kicked out. But guess what? You're going into the den of lions. Those lions were hungry. You read what happened to the guys who went there the next day. The lions had mastery of them before they hit the ground. It wasn't because the lions weren't hungry. Here he is in the darkness being thrown into the den of lions. Look at verse number 19. He's there from the going down of the sun until verse number 19. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. Very early in the morning. Maybe it's still dark. When he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. He probably didn't expect anybody to answer. The king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, probably woke him up, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. In the darkness, Daniel was wrongly condemned. In the darkness, Daniel was thrown into the den of lions. In the darkness, God delivered him. God does his best work in the darkness. Oh, look what else happened. Look at verse number 25. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. Why was that? It was because one man was suffering in the darkness, and yet God was working. And God changed the laws of a whole nation because God does his greatest work in the dark. Oh, I'm going through the darkness. Okay, well, God sees you in your darkness. Think about someone else. I mean, we could probably spend days, right? We won't. But think about Jonah. He ran from God. He was on the ship, right? You know the story. Finally, they throw him overboard. Thank God, God prepared a great fish, right? God prepared a whale. And here's Jonah now. And he's in the belly of the whale. You think it was light in there? No. It was dark. And Jonah said this, from the belly of hell cried I. He said, listen, this is the worst thing imaginable. I think I'm in hell, but there's no fire here. It's in the darkness for 3 days and 3 nights. But would you like to know what happened? Well, several things happened. But one of the things that happened was Jesus Christ used Jonah as an illustration of his time he would spend in the tomb. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Matthew 12, verse 40. Jesus used him as a comparison. Here's Jonah in the darkness, and Jonah would be one of the people that Jesus uses as an illustration. He decided he would obey. Well, I think I might too. Here you are, kind of, floating around in a whale's stomach. Can you imagine what he must have looked like when he got out of there? Ugh. But here he was in the darkness. And finally he goes to Nineveh, and he preached. And God sent the revival. Why did he do that? Because God was working on Jonah in the darkness. Jonah didn't want to go when the sun was shining. Jonah didn't want to go when everything was fine and the seas were favorable. But finally, when God got him in the darkness, he got his attention. And God said, Jonah, are you going to listen to me this time? God does his greatest work in the darkness. In Matthew chapter 14, the disciples were out on the Sea of Galilee. And the Bible says in verse 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Here's the darkest part of the night. You ever work third shift? Takes a special person, doesn't it? Here they are, out there working third shift, traveling across one side to the other, and a storm comes up, and here's Jesus walking on the water in the dark. Hey, but guess what happened? They were afraid. It was the fourth watch of the night. It was the darkest time of the night. But you know what happened in the darkness? God does His greatest work in the darkness. Peter said, "Lord, if it's You, bid Thou me to come to Thee on the water." Peter walked on the water in the darkness. Read it. It's true. That's when it happened. He still holds the record. When did it happen? In the darkness. And then Jesus calmed the sea in the darkness. And what happened? They confessed, "Of a truth, Thou art the Son of God." And they worshipped Him. Why? Because of a storm in the darkness. Why? Because Peter said, "It's Jesus." And Jesus calmed the sea in the darkness. Think about some more people. Paul and Silas were faithful in Philippi. God said, "I'm going to send you a vision. Come over into Macedonia and help us. We tried to go over here. We tried to go over there. Spirit won't let us." They ended up in Philippi, right where God sent them. What happened? Lydia trusted Christ. People down at the river trusted Christ. He got baptized. I mean, it was a wonderful thing going on. A damsel with the spirit of divination followed Paul and Silas. "These be the servants of the Most High God who showed us the way of salvation." They cast the devil out of her, and the people who were using her were mad because they lost their revenue. They had them beaten. They put them in prison. They put them in the stocks. And the Bible says in Acts 16, verse number 25, "And at midnight," darkness. Interesting how many times we find darkness and night and even midnight in the Bible. "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises, and the prisoners heard them." What do you do in your darkness? What do you do in your midnight? You know, it's easy for me because I'll tell you right now, the easiest thing I do is I complain. The easiest thing I do is I say, "Why did you do that?" Right? Jesus asked why, but He didn't come off the cross. My God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" Here they were at midnight. And they're praying, and the prisoners heard them pray. And they're singing praises. I don't know what they were singing. "Rock of ages, clap for me." It wasn't invented yet, right? I don't know what they were singing. "Give me that old-time religion. Hey, Paul, give me some bass on that. Give me that old-time religion." I don't know what they were singing. "Amazing grace." Maybe they're singing "Jailhouse Rock." No, I know they weren't singing that. I don't know what they were singing. But they were singing some songs that were psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And you know what God did? The Bible says the earth is His footstool. I think God just started tapping His toe. He started tapping His toe. And boy, you know it, there was an earthquake. And the prison was shaken, and the foundation was shaken, and the doors opened. The jailer came and he said, "I'm going to kill myself." He pulled out his sword. He was going to fall on it. And Paul said, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." He was trembling. He said, "This never happened before." He called for a light. They bring a light. He falls down before his prisoners. And he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." He goes to the jailer's home. Paul and Silas go to the jailer's home in the middle of the night. He wakes up his family. "Hey, wife, you got to hear this. Hey, children, sit down at the table. You got to hear this. Jesus Christ is the Savior. You need to put your faith in Him and trust Him to take you to heaven someday." They all trusted Christ. They all got baptized in the middle of the night. Why? Because God does His best work in the darkness. God does His greatest work in the darkness. Boy, it sure looked dark at Calvary, but God was working. Boy, it sure looked dark for Paul and Silas, but God was working. God does His best work in the dark because God heard them. In your darkness, God is working. In the darkness, God is doing many things. We just looked at a few of them tonight. In the darkness, God is creating. In the darkness, God is forgiving. In the darkness, he's showing his power. In the darkness, he's convicting. In the darkness, he's convincing. In the darkness, he's blessing. In the darkness, he's changing your future. In the darkness, he's delivering. In the darkness, he's saving individuals. In the darkness, he's saving families. In the darkness, he's changing lives. In the darkness, he's answering prayers. In the darkness, he's reviving those who are the worst in need of revival. In the darkness, he's directing hearts. In the darkness, he's increasing faith. In the darkness, he's opening doors. He is still working in the dark. What do we have to do? Just be faithful. Just be faithful in the dark. God does his greatest work in the dark.